Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It was a mistake. That was our fault. And we apologize for our mistake.
In your GPS, right, in GPS track, it is completely that you have penetrated to Iran territorial water?
I believe so.
How was the Iranian behavior with you?
The Iranian behavior was fantastic while we were here. We thank you very much for your hospitality and your assistance.
Didn't you have a special problem?
We had no problem, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're witnessing the destruction of the United States military by the greatest enemy of our freedom. It's somebody inside the Obama administration did this to the U.S. Navy. Let me tell you something. I'm a boater. Two very advanced American naval craft suddenly stop in the middle of the Gulf and go aground at the same time. And our good friends in Iran, the good friends of John Kerry, rescue our sailors after doing what? Why, they took all of our latest technology. Let me tell you something, and remember it carefully. There is a double agent inside this administration, in my estimation. They did it to us with one of our most advanced drones 2 years ago. You have forgotten that already because you have no press. You only have a few men left in the media. You only have a few websites left to look at. Somebody in the administration sent them our most advanced drone 2 years ago. It landed without a scratch, like a new Buick in a showroom, delivered on a silver platter to the Iranians, our most advanced drone. You forgot that? Under that smiling puppet on the stage last night. That lying, smiling cafe singer getting away with murder and treason. I couldn't watch him. The self-congratulatory speech that he gave was in another universe. It came from somewhere else. He was living in an alternate universe. He was talking about a world that doesn't exist. And the sycophants in the Republican Party couldn't get enough of applause. Oh, I accept it from the Pelosis and the other fetid creatures from the jungle floor. I accepted it. I can smell their stink coming through the TV screen. I accept it from the Democrat Socialists. But I couldn't believe watching the Republicans applauding. He walked down the aisle smiling like he was on a red carpet in Hollywood. The world is burning around him. And this double agent tells us the world is perfect. All I could think of was it was Joseph Stalin when he was confronted with boys being raped on a railroad track in the 1950s. And the Russian detective says the boys are being raped. Look at their bodies. And Stalin tells the commander to say, there is no homicide in paradise. It only happens in a capitalist nation. I was watching that last night during the State of the Union speech, where he delivered a speech about a paradise that doesn't exist. He is an exact copy of every other mad dictator the world has ever seen, short of the genocide. The only genocide that is being committed is against Christians because he won't lift a finger to protect them. So don't assume there is no genocide. There is a genocide going on against Christians in the Middle East, and there's fraud! Doesn't even talk about it. He tells us that the Iranians are our friend. They're our great friend. And so somebody in the Obama administration, in my opinion, if I were in counterintelligence, and I know there are people in counterintelligence who are thinking exactly the way I am thinking, but they're lower level counterintelligence. They're not heard from. By the time their suggestion goes to one level above them, the dunce above them has been told to kill it. Somebody did this to these boats. Did you see the naval men humiliated? Did you see them bowing down to the Iranian murderers? And did you see them saying how good they were treated in a prison camp? Do you know that behavior like this in another time would have been considered sedition? They might have been court-martialed when they came back, tried and executed for catering to the enemy. Did you know that? Are you aware of what just happened? And it happened on the very day that the fraud gave the big smiling speech. The big smiling Obama. Glad handing on his down on the runway. I don't understand where America went. It went up in smoke. This is not a right-wing view. This is the correct view. This is the correct view. How can anyone listening to this show not understand what just happened to this military under this fraud? I ask myself, two boats suddenly conk out and go aground, and they're rescued by Iran. The nine men and one woman were detained by the Islamic Revolutionary Guards on Farsi Island. How did this happen? The unnamed sailor said it was a mistake. It was our fault, and we apologize for our mistake. Can anyone explain to me how these boats died out and went aground? They're the most advanced naval river craft imaginable. How did they die out? Anyone listening to this show who is a boater knows that this was a sabotage. These boats don't conk out. You know, it's interesting to me. In my last novel of the Jack Hatfield series called, I believe it was called Countdown to Mecca, right? The scene opens with a U.S. military helicopter suddenly plummeting to Earth in Afghanistan because a Chinese controller had the chip and he had a device where he could stop the rotors from turning. Defuse the helicopter. The helicopter crashed. A few scenes later in my novel, an FBI car is pursuing the bad guys in San Francisco. The police car stops in the street because a bad guy has a device that he presses a few keys, and it stops the computers from operating in the police car. My guess is somebody gave the codes to the Iranians. They jammed the boats, computer systems. The computer systems stopped the boats. They went aground. They were given on a silver platter to the Iranians. Our advanced technology in this regard was given to the Iranians, just as it was with the drones. And then we see the apology. And then we hear John Kerry congratulating himself for his great relationships with the terrorists in Iran. And nobody in the media sees the bigger picture. Then we saw a speech last night where Obama talked about ISIS in a parallel universe. I happened to be at dinner. I tried not to watch the speech. When they replayed him talking about ISIS, I cursed him in the bar. I couldn't take it. I had a few drinks. I cursed him in the bar and I left. Three guys offered to buy me a drink. Listen to your president lying about ISIS last night.
As we focus on destroying ISIS, over-the-top claims that this is World War III just play into their hands. Masses of fighters on the back of pickup trucks, twisted souls plotting in apartments or garages, they pose an enormous danger to civilians. They have to be stopped. But they do not threaten our national existence. That is the story ISIL wants to tell. That's the kind of propaganda they use to recruit. We don't need to build them up to show that we're serious. And we sure don't need to push away vital allies in this fight by echoing the lie that ISIL is somehow representative of one of the world's largest religions.
He won't even mention the word Islam.
We just need to call them what they are.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. He's insane. He's insane or he is an absolute enemy of the Republic. There's no other conclusion. Either he's living in a delusional world or he's a double agent. There's no other explanation for making a speech like that at a time like this. He denied what happened in San Bernardino. He denied what happened in Boston. He denied what happened to the cop in Philadelphia the other day. He denies the number of ISIS-related events. He disconnects it from Islam. They all say they're Islamic. If this is not the work of a propagandist for the enemy, tell me what could be the work of a propagandist for the enemy. And then to see the men on their hands and knees apologizing to these beasts in Iran, and to see Kerry thanking Iran for returning the troops that they delivered on a silver platter. There's something so wrong with the country under this delusional sociopath in the White House. And I ask myself when I say things like this on a national show, will I be understood or will I be misunderstood? Can those brainwashed fools on the liberal side ever comprehend that they have been had and that their life is being put in danger by this administration that they seem to worship so much. Did we play Kerry yet? Talking about the wonders of Iran? Listen to John Kerry thanking Iran for returning the U.S. naval personnel who were delivered to them on a silver platter. Listen.
I want to underscore how pleased I am that our sailors were safely returned into United States hands this morning. As a former sailor myself, I know as well as anybody.
I can't listen to, I'm sorry. I don't want to say things that I really mean right now. I want to hold back a little bit because the whole picture is distorted. It's really bad. If you care to comment upon anything that you just heard on this show, if you work in counterintelligence and can use a scrambler, leave your office, call the show, put a handkerchief over the mouthpiece, and you tell me I'm crazy. I have never heard of two fast attack riverine boats conking out at the same time in the history of the U.S. military. I'm a boater. It's impossible. It is statistically impossible unless these boats were either sabotaged on the mothership from which they were launched, or the Iranians were given the codes to the computers on these boats to stop the boats dead in their tracks off of Farsi Island. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
For more than a year, America has led a coalition of more than 60 countries to cut off ISIL's financing, disrupt their plots, stop the flow of terrorist fighters, and stamp out their vicious ideology. With nearly 10,000 airstrikes,
failure.
We're taking out their leadership, their oil, their training camps, their weapons. We're training, arming, and supporting forces who are steadily reclaiming territory.
All right, this is right out of Stalin's Russia. This is an alternate universe of a madman. You see, here's the problem with America. I figured it out last night. We are so controlled by the entertainment industry that most of us don't know the difference between reality and fantasy. So when you have a president who puts out a fantastic story of lies, as he did last night, in the midst of our patrol boats being captured, sailors apologizing, thanking the terrorist nation of Iran for returning them safely, all this happens and he doesn't mention it. Nor do any of the fetid fallen creatures on the floor of the U.S. Congress say a word about it. All of these rotten fruits on the jungle floor I watched last night, I was appalled. I said, they're running the universe? These lowlives are running the universe? I looked at them one after the other. None of them looked like a substantial person to me. They looked like marionettes of an inferior design. But let's put that aside. I'm not writing a novel for Jonathan Swift. He's long dead. But when Americans are fed Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Geffen's imagery, songs, on a daily basis forever, you know how powerful Spielberg is in storytelling? They're geniuses. Do you understand that they're geniuses? They're like Merlin the Magician in how they can screw up the minds of the world into not knowing reality from fantasy. So after many years of watching movies, smoking pot, taking LSD, getting drunk at night in the meatpacking district, throwing up on their silk stockings in the morning, they don't know the difference between reality and fantasy. So he can get away with anything he wants. He knows the difference between reality and fantasy. Make no mistake about that. He knows the difference, but he's a sociopath, so it doesn't matter to him whether or not he's lying. In fact, the more his lies are accepted, the bigger his ego becomes. It's like a balloon. The helium to him is a lie. To a sociopath, the lie is the helium. You haven't read that anywhere because I just created it for the show. I create a bit of a novel every day on this program. It's a novel based upon reality, but I use flowery language to try and get my points across. So I'll say it again. To a sociopath, the lie is their helium. And Obama is the sociopath who lies And every time he lies and he gets the applause and he opens his big smile, there's the helium. The helium worked. Pumps him up. Doesn't even mention the capture of our boats. No humiliation for him, because it's not real to him. He doesn't think it's real to you. So again, as someone who's worked with boats and engines for well over 20 years, including some advanced technology, I've never seen this happen concurrently. I can't imagine two boats would go out at the same time. So again, I don't know. Did the boats go aground because they were off course, or did the engines quit? Remember, first we were told the engines quit, then we were told that it was a GPS failure. Remember that? What actually happened? And if it was a GPS failure, why did the GPS fail? Why did the SEAL Team 6 go down in flames over Afghanistan several years ago, killing all of those heroes in SEAL Force Team 6, the very SEAL team that captured Osama bin Laden? Remember the cover-up of that one? It was the topic of my novel number 2, called A Time for War. It hurt me so deeply, I wrote a whole novel around it. Well, nothing seems to change, though, because we have stooges like Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer, government agents. In my estimation, they're no different than the government propagandists who work for Pravda or Izvestia under the Soviet system. They're identical. There's no independence, no real questions. Occasionally, there's a fake question. Charlie Rose is part of Izvestia. Make no mistake about it. They're all part of Izvestia. So what do we do about it? I'll tell you what we do about it. You want to hear what the greatest power you have is? It's me analyzing for you, giving you food for thought, you thinking about it, and you deciding whether I'm wrong or I'm right. You deciding whether there's even a possibility that what I'm saying is the correct approach, or whether what Obama is selling you is the right truth. Yes, the only thing we've got. Because I have no other reason to be on the radio. None whatsoever. Oh, a lot of things are said about talk show hosts. Some is true, some is false. But at the end of the day, we in the talk radio business have only one purpose, one reason to exist. And that is to analyze the news for you and give you our views. And hopefully, if it's a little different than what you have read or thought about, then we have a valid reason for you to listen to us. If it's the same stuff every day, you're not going to listen very long. If you hear it everywhere you turn, you're not going to listen to any one of us in particular. But if you get someone who has an analytical mind, who gives you a viewpoint that's unique, you say, you know what, I really don't agree with this guy, but he may be right. Maybe the guy's right. Maybe there is a double agent inside the government who set them off course, or who gave the Iranians the codes to the engines. Or maybe there's something wrong. Maybe the thing is too convenient to make the Iranians look good just before Obama's about to release $57 billion in held assets. He wants to show them they're our friends. It seems the whole thing's staged, like a kabuki play. So what do you think, folks? You believe in Spielberg's fantasies or my analysis? WJR, Anna, you're the first up. Go ahead. What's your opinion?
My husband's in the Expeditionary Combat Command out of Long Island, and they're in pre-deployment activities right now, and they're being deployed in March to relieve these very sailors that were just detained and released. And I spoke with him last night, and absolutely not would they both boats simultaneously have a mechanical problem. If one of them did, the other boat has the capacity to tow the other boat, and if their GPS both somehow magically stop working on both boats, they have other sat phones with GPS capabilities in the hands of our service personnel on those boats.
Correct. So they were sent onto a ground on purpose by some act, by somebody. Somebody sent them off course on purpose, in other words, right?
Well, but not only that, but my sister, she flew HE-53s and was deployed to Bahrain. There's Farsi and there's Bahrain. There aren't a whole heck of a lot of other islands in the Persian Gulf. And when you're deployed in that area, you know exactly where you're allowed to go and where you're not allowed to go. So even if their GPS was off course, their training, they've been there for not quite a year, but over 6 months. They know where Iran is.
All right, so right, they know where the Farsi island is, yet they both went aground at the same time? How did that happen, in your opinion? You have, what, 9 or 10 sailors aboard. None of them knew they were heading into a sandbar?
It doesn't happen. These are well-trained service people. And now my husband, he's being deployed to go fill their...
Hold it. I don't want you to tell us anything more about your husband. It's not important that you do, and I don't want to put you or him in danger. We have very dangerous individuals in this government, and I don't want to see any harm come to your husband. So that's unnecessary to tell us. What do you think happened, though? What's the woman's intuition on this, Anna?
Obviously, there's a traitor in the White House and one that's willing to make a mockery and put our service people, who are patriots, in danger.
Now, the way the men gave up in the apology speech, as far as I know, maybe I've watched too many movies, but I've read enough to know, this was very unusual to be grilled like this by this fascist from Iran. And isn't it only name, rank, and serial number required when you're captured?
If that.
So why did he say we were treated well? Why did he say we went off course? Why did he say the Iranian Navy rescued us? Why did he say all of that? Why did he apologize?
To feed this propaganda wheel, and knowing some of the service personnel that are in this position, they would have been threatened with essentially death or other major military repercussions to be forced to have that admission.
Wait, they were threatened by the Iranians, or they were threatened by their own command structure after they were released? What do you mean? They would have been threatened, or they were threatened?
No, I'm saying that in order for them to make a mockery of themselves and to go along.
All right, so they were intimidated into this confession by the Iranian fascists. Is that it?
Or the Iranian fascists in our White House. I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Well, let's not go there right now, but this is a very strange situation. New video shows U.S. sailors seized from boats being treated as war prisoners, yet John Kerry gives a congratulatory speech. The smiling cafe singer doesn't even mention it last night, even though it happened before it. Nobody in Congress even mentions it, except Duncan Hunter, who served in the military, who says that Iran is going to copy the U.S. boat design and benefit from the equipment on the craft. Do you recall several years ago that we, quote, accidentally delivered our most advanced drone to Iran without a scratch on it? Do you remember that one?
And then they reverse engineer our technology and then it's theirs.
Anna, all I can say is maybe, just maybe, we will survive this subversive regime. You know, even if you look at them as academic leftists, that's enough to tell me they're subversives. They are out to destroy the military, and they just did another job along the way. I don't know how anybody in the military can't see it the way I do. Thank you very much, and I wish you great luck, Anna. This is an amazing day. I don't know if you understand how severe this is. Reparation roadblock. Supreme Court justices seem divided over Iran payment to terror victims. Did you hear this? Iran is able to get back the money that was held up because they were, you know, a terror nation, except when they got their man in Havana in the White House, now suddenly they're getting all the money back. And now Iran payments to the victims of Iran terror was held up by the U.S. Supreme Court? That's crazy. I just had a victory at the U.S. Supreme Court, by the way, which you should know about. It was covered on my show yesterday. Yes, I, small as I am in the world stage, on the world stage, had to tell you this yesterday because I don't know of any other talk show host who actually had any such situation. But there was a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that was in my benefit yesterday. It took me 5 years, an awful lot of time and money, and it was all unnecessary. The fact is it was necessary for me for my freedom. I literally had to do this in order to be a free man. You don't know what it's like to be enslaved in a business deal against your will when your contract permits you to move on and you have someone who wants to treat you like they own you on a plantation. You don't know what that's like to live in America and be a slave. That's why I fought with everything I had in me, and thank God I won. And so whether you like me or not, I just want a victory for everyone in the media. everyone in the media was just given a victory yesterday by Michael Savage. And strangely enough, a guest on the O'Reilly Show mentioned something about me in a weird way. You don't know whether it was... Listen to the clip right now in clip one for a minute. It's a good distraction.
Speaking to my political contacts throughout London tonight, and they say that even though people are upset here about what Donald Trump has had to say, that he will not get banned by this committee of parliament that will be meeting. Now, there is a precedent for this happening, however, and it's what probably has Donald Trump's office a little bit concerned. If Americans are found violating hate speech or provocative speech, whatever, they have been blocked in the past. The fighter Mike Tyson was blocked. The radio host Mike Savage, as well as Terry Jones, the preacher. The question is what he has been saying classified as hate speech? And again, my contacts say it won't be classified as hate speech.
I hope not.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I'm glad you hope not. Maybe you can really become a big man. I mean, I know you're 6'6", Bill. Maybe you can suddenly become 5'6" in your actual stature, your spiritual stature, and recognize the mistakes you made in the past with regard to Michael Savage. But I'm glad to be lumped in with Mike Tyson. He's always been one of my heroes. I had no idea he was banned from Britain. In fact, I know somebody who's a good friend of his. I'm going to go out of my way to meet him. I didn't know we have that in common. Maybe we'll go to Ireland together. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Listen, many of you are Facebooking me of where can you read more about my Supreme Court case. It's on the Drudge Report right now, 7 down. Michael Savage prevails at Supreme Court. It's right above the vampire girl who drinks blood. Joe on WABC, go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I just wanted to comment. I heard the last part of when your caller Anna was on, I believe that was her name, about the sailors. The
yeah, I understand. Sailors. So what's your point? You don't agree with Anna. You know more than her. And what's your opinion on the naval riverboats going aground?
Well, no, I want to ask you, why do you think that it was a government, or why does she think it was a government conspiracy?
Why do you not think it was?
Well, like, first of all, why would that benefit the president at all? Were it to be
because, you want an answer? I'll give you one. Because they're returning $56 billion of seized assets to Iran, the terror nation, as part of John Kerry's great diplomacy. And in order to make Iran look less terroristic, even though they just terrorized us and threatened us before this, they want us now to embrace the Iranian government. Do you understand that?
Yeah, well, okay. They wouldn't. Why would they do it? That doesn't even make sense.
You ask me why this twisted, subversive administration would want us to view Iran in a positive manner. I gave you the answer. Have our boats conk out, go aground, be rescued by the great Iranians, and then suddenly, oh, what wonderful people the Iranians are. They're really not as bad as those mean Republicans say. That's the scenario I see. Thank you for the call. That's the reason that you call, is I try to give you my opinion. I don't think I've changed your mind. This is the biggest subject of the day. The alternate universe of the cafe singer in the White House.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It was a mistake. That was our fault. And we apologize for our mistake.
In your GPS, right, in your GPS track, it is completely that you have penetrated to Iran territorial water?
I believe so.
How was the Iranian behavior with you?
The Iranian behavior was fantastic while we were here. We thank you very much for your hospitality.
You like that tabbouleh?
Didn't have a special problem?
We had no problem, sir.
Also,
you like
I want to
the
thank
special
the Iranian...
K? So we're talking about the setup stage play, the kabuki play of two naval riverboats mysteriously conking out or going aground, rather, on a very well-mapped island in the Gulf. Unbelievable. It's not capable. It couldn't happen by accident. That's my allegation. I'm a boater. And you had a woman call earlier whose husband is on this type of boat. She said everyone knows the that Farsi Island is the only object in the entire area. How could they go aground? Their GPS went out. Would they have a GPS on their cell phones? Secondly, it's well marked. So something was wrong here. And my allegation is that there's a double agent inside the administration, somewhere deep in this administration, who sabotaged these boats to humiliate the United States military, and moreover, to transfer top secret technology. And I brought up a previous situation 3 or 4 years ago under your president, the subversive president of the United States of America, when he accidentally sent the U.S. drone, the most advanced drone in our military's arsenal, into Iranian hands without a scratch on it. It mysteriously landed in their hands. Now this? Now U.S. sailors apologizing? This is right out of a propaganda movie. And I'm asking for your commentary on this. It's astounding to watch this. It's sickening in light of the fact that the man living in an alternative universe, your president, gave a speech last night that was right out of Stalin's era in Russia, where he said that in paradise there could be no homicides. And if a cop wanted to report or follow up on a homicide in Russia at that time, he was told not to, because Stalin the madman, the crazy madman who killed 30 million Russians, the madman in Russia, Stalin, said there can be no homicide in paradise, and socialism is paradise. It can only occur in a capitalist nation. Here is Obama virtually mimicking the same kind of madness. Listen to clip number 7. Listen to the madness of this man.
60 years ago, when the Russians beat us into space, we didn't deny Sputnik was up there. We didn't argue about the science or shrink our research and development budget. We built a space program almost overnight, and 12 years later, we were walking on the moon.
And this subversive just killed that space program,
that by
the way.
Of discovery is in our DNA. America is Thomas Edison and the Wright brothers and George Washington Carver. America's
in the same breath?
Grace Hopper and Katherine Johnson
they?
And Sally Ride.
Wait, listen to me. The man is putting Thomas Edison and the Wright brothers in the same category as George Washington Carver and Katherine Johnson, who no one ever heard of. It's shocking, but it's not shocking when you consider that this is an academic, progressive liar from the top to the bottom. Now let's get down to brass tacks. The issue in Iran, the apology. My allegation that there is some kind of double agent going on, double agent operating in this government, and has been, from the drone to SEAL Team 6 being killed in a helicopter over the valley in Afghanistan, the helicopter suddenly going down in the middle of the battle, sent into the same exact, on the same exact flight path over and over again with no support helicopters. You remember when all those SEALs died? You know, their names will not be forgotten in vain. They're not going to be forgotten by me. I wrote a whole book about them. They have parents left behind whose hearts were broken by this subversive administration. And nobody's ever paid the penalty for having sent them to their deaths in that flaming helicopter, ever. A lot has happened. And so I want to talk about it. I want to ask what you think about this. Something is very, very wrong with this picture. Let's go to the gentleman who says he's a retired officer on one of these boats. Mark on KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead, please. Flame out. We just had a flame out. We'll go to the next one. Bruce on WMAL. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mike. Yeah, we've already seen where Iran has brought down our classified intelligence gathering drones because they spoofed the GPS signals. And it would take nothing to spoof the GPS units on these boats to lead them into a bad navigational error where they could be grounded or brought into their territorial waters.
So you're saying that it's feasible, at least, that Iran disabled the GPS, and you're probably also saying it doesn't take a double agent in the White House to help that. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that Japan spoofed the GPS with stronger signals and misled the GPS units, just like they brought our intelligence gathering drones down.
You mean Iran, not Japan, right?
Yeah, Iran. The signals from the satellites are so faint electrically that it doesn't take much to overpower those signals with false signals.
Are you telling me the U.S. Navy doesn't have counter systems to this, knowing what you know?
No. And obviously the Air Force didn't have it either when they brought down one of our classified intelligence drones.
Okay, so the next step. Did you serve in the Navy?
No, I was a former Air Force officer, a computer engineer.
Okay, were you told what to do if captured by an enemy? Are you told to apologize or not? I mean, is that protocol?
The only time you would ever do anything like that was if your life was basically in danger, if you were essentially being in danger of being executed or one of your teammates.
But Iran tells us they were not mistreated, and the sailors said they were not mistreated. So why would they suddenly say Iran is so great and they were treated so well?
For the same reason the North Vietnamese and the North Koreans got our people to say things on video by threatening them before they were videoed.
Yeah, I wonder where John McCain is now that we need him. How come he's not saying anything, the war horse? Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate that. Next caller, your opinion counts in the Savage Nation. WFJX Radio. Jim, go ahead, please. Your opinion counts.
Yes, sir. I'm a Sears School graduate. You would never, ever apologize, and your former caller got it right, unless it was, to protect the life of yourself or one of your other guys. And they'll actually try to trick you that they're going to execute you to get you to be videotaped.
No, I understand. Listen, I, as a civilian, understand that, but I didn't see that happen. They seem to have apologized without being threatened, or do you think they were threatened and they didn't tell us, obviously, to get out of there?
I think he had the opportunity to talk to a State Department rep to verify his identity or something, and the State Department rep from the head Muslim in charge told him to apologize.
Did you hear how John Kerry went on immediately after this and congratulated himself for his wonderful diplomacy with Iran? Don't you think it's a little too convenient? Doesn't it look like a kabuki play to you?
Crazy. I think when I was at the Citadel, Admiral Stockdale was the president, and he was going to be interviewed by the press in North Vietnam, and he broke a slat out of the bottom of the chair in the interview room before they got in the room and beat himself senseless. And he was bleeding from the face and the head and all that when the press came in, because he didn't want to be interviewed, and he wanted them to know. He wanted the international press to know that they were being beaten. And he believed that nobody would believe that he did that to himself. And after
before Jane Fonda took over America. Right now we have a country being run by a man who was acting like Jane Fonda during the Vietnam War. That's what it looks like to me. If Jane Fonda and her academic cohorts had become, let's say, the leaders of this country, this is the kind of situation we'd be in.
It's treasonous. They need to be,
We don't go there. We don't go there. We're peace-loving people. We believe in the electoral process because it's so honest. And look at those wonderful people during the speech last night on both sides of the aisle congratulating the man with the big smile. Why, he could do no wrong on both sides of the aisle. There was hardly a frown, let alone anyone turning their back on him. How did that happen? Did not one Republican turn their back on this liar last night? If I were in Congress, I would have turned my back on him. I would have booed. I would have asked the Sergeant of Arms to throw me out. I would have made the whole world listen to one voice of protest to the liar. I didn't hear one.
Hey, Mike.
Okay, let's say I'm not in Congress. Thank God. Now you know why I'm not in Congress. I'm what's known as a member of the Fourth Estate. And our job is very simple. If we're good at it, what we do is we act as a nudge in the side of the established order, mainly politicians. That's what the press has always been supposed to do. We're supposed to bother them. We're supposed to point out their lies. We're supposed to try to keep them straight, relatively straight. But when the Fourth Estate becomes the fifth column, you can have a president elected who was never qualified to be so much as a Secret Service agent. And by the way, I'll repeat that again. Barack Obama's past associations would have prevented him from being accepted into the FBI, let alone into the Secret Service. How come no one's ever talked about that back in a minute?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
No, there's no apology. Nothing to apologize for. When you have a problem with the boat, you apologize the boat had a problem? No. There was no looking for any apology.
Now, you know, Joe Biden is a bigger liar, as big a liar, if not bigger, than Barack Obama. The man with those fake teeth. Every time I see him, I see a crazy man, another crazy man. Another crazy man. Crazy men, crazy women running the country. There's no apology? Mr. Biden, take out your earplugs and listen to the apology on the Savage Nation. Listen.
It was a mistake. That was our fault. And we apologize for our mistake.
In your GPS, right, in GPS track, it is completed that you have penetrated to Iran territorial water?
I believe so.
How was the Iranian behavior with you?
You like
Iranian
the tabouret?
Behavior was fantastic while we were here. We thank you very much for your hospitality and your assistance.
Didn't you have a special problem?
Special falafel, American? This would be laughable if it was a cartoon, but it isn't. The United States Navy, which once defeated Muslim pirates. In fact, I've told you the story before. The Marines actually were called Leathernecks. Do you know why? I told you the story many years ago, we had merchant ships plying the world's waters in the 1800s, the early 1800s, and they were being attacked by Muslim pirates off the coast of Africa and in the Mediterranean, off the coast of Africa, I believe. They needed special soldiers put on the merchant ships to protect them, and they knew they were going to get into sword fights, so they put thick leather bands around their necks to protect them in these man-to-man fights with swords. They were called leathernecks. That's the origin of the word leatherneck, the U.S. Marines. And so we've gone from that to this. From the Alpha to the Omega, the U.S. Navy has now been totally humiliated by this group of friends of Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama. Let's put it to you that way. You know the big J word was coming. Someone was going to say it. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, why go into this? You want to talk about this? We can. They had weapons. They could have used them. Why didn't they use their weapons to fight their way out of that? They're naval officers. This is not a cruise ship. You join the military, you're different than a civilian. You swear you're going to uphold the Constitution. You're willing to put your life on the line for it. They had heavy machine guns on that boat. They could have fought their way out of that. They could have called in for support. I mean, there was a mothership from which they came. The mothership couldn't have been more than a mile away. Why didn't the mothership come to their rescue and stand down the Iranians? Let's go to the next stage. Who is the captain of the American mothership of these boats? Why was she not told to defend these men who got into this trouble? Where was she? What was she doing? Who was the captain? Where was the captain? Who was the captain? Why didn't the captain go to the aid of these men and this one woman who were captured? How could two boats go aground at the same time? It's statistically impossible unless they were both sabotaged. It's that simple. Why didn't they fight their way out? Why did Kerry have an immediate self-congratulatory speech about himself, his diplomacy, and that creep with the long hair? Every time I see him, I want to break the screen. That creep with the long hair. The Secretary of Energy. Where'd that creep come from? Who is that creep of the Secretary's? During the hearings, he was sitting there with the hair hanging down. during the whole hearings like a doll. Like a... Oh, the whole thing disgusts me. The whole thing gets me really angry. Okay, well, here we are. Stocks plunge to go with it. And by the way, say, oh, well, the stocks plunged separately? No. It was after Obama's insane speech last night. And the complete detachment of all of Congress from the world's problems. The stocks went down. Because nobody can believe that we have these people of such a low level running the whole world. Nobody can believe it. Did you see the faces as he walked down the red carpet as though it was the Golden Globes? He looked like Sean Penn. Big smile. They couldn't get enough of him. They just couldn't wait to touch him. But this is not a rock star. It's not an entertainer. This is not a Spielberg movie. This is the man who was given the mantle of the United States of America, and he's put us in danger. He has wrecked the economy, whether you know it or not. You don't think so, because printing money is a very, very easy way to create a false sense of a recovery. It was used by FDR. It was used by Stalin. It was used by Hitler. Many, many governments have used a quantitative easing or printing money to give a false sense of a recovered economy. You don't understand it. I do. I know the basis of economics. What's the difference if the inflation is out of control and you don't know it? Inflation's not out of control. Go look at houses in New York, apartments in New York, and go look at houses in Beverly Hills and tell me there's no inflation. You'll see there's real inflation. Real inflation. And one day you'll come to understand it'll all come home to roost, probably the minute a Republican is elected. It'll all come crashing down if they can blame it on them. They could stand on the sidelines and say, you never had it so good while we were since we were in office. That's coming next in the charade called American politics. We're going to move on. If you want to call on this, we have a few minutes left on it when I come back. Then we're going to move on to other subjects. The apology of the U.S. Navy. Were the boats sabotaged by a double agent in the Obama administration? And more right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Democracy does require basic bonds of trust between its citizens. It doesn't work if we think the people who disagree with us are all motivated by malice. It doesn't work if we think that our political opponents are unpatriotic or are trying to weaken America. Democracy grinds to a halt without a willingness to compromise.
Oh, in other words, we're wrong for seeing through you? We're wrong now for seeing the subversives at work. But we're not really wrong. We're really nice people. We're not really bad. When we see subversives subverting everything of any value in the country, suddenly, yeah, we're really noble. We accept that you can look at us and call us subversives. But really, we're bigger than you. Yeah. So, parallel universe. 10 lies Obama told during the address. I mean, that's so obvious. A child could see it. A child could see what he said. Everything was in another universe. Talks about space and Sputnik and about a science and how we didn't shrink from research and we built overnight a space program. And he doesn't add, he destroyed the space program within the first 2 months of his administration. 2 months of the regime, he knocked out NASA. Didn't say that last night. Then he talks about the spirit of discovery in our DNA. His DNA? Well, I don't think the spirit of discovery is in his DNA. I think the spirit of subversion is in his DNA, that's for sure. Then he compares our spirit of discovery in one breath, Thomas Edison, the Wright brothers, and you hold your breath, George Washington Carver again. And then he throws in Grace Hopper and Katherine Johnson to be PC. No one knows who they are, nor what they did. Then he says, we're every immigrant and entrepreneur from Boston to Austin to Silicon Valley, racing to shape a better world. No, my friend, it's every immigrant and entrepreneur that Silicon Valley is bringing in to lower their cost of doing business. I'm a cynical guy, I got to tell you. Maybe you're not as cynical as I am. And for that reason alone, you don't accept what I have to say. I understand that. I've been a cynic since I'm 5 years old. From the time I could first think and speak, I was cynical by what I saw going on in my little world. And I haven't been disappointed in my cynicism. Not yet. WMAL, John, go ahead, please. What do you make of the incident of the apology and the boats?
first off, the apology was an absolute crock. It never should have been said, never should have happened. Second of all, as far as the boats go, if in fact it was the RPBs, the Riverine Patrol Craft, they are notorious for maintenance issues. That does not absolve the crew from...
Well, John, hold on. That was the initial report that one of them broke down, and then we learned that was not the case. It was that their GPS on both boats went out at the same time, and both boats went aground on Farsi Island. So it wasn't a breakdown. It was a navigational error.
And if it's a navigational error, that would be the quartermaster and the OIC of those vessels. It's their responsibility. They've got to have the right charts, have the right geo-coordinates put into the GPS, and all that has to be set up properly prior
to... But, John, according to a woman who called, whose husband is going to replace these crew members in the Gulf, the very same Gulf, they all know Farsi Island. It's the only large object in that entire body of water. It's well marked, and everyone knows where it is. So she couldn't understand how they could get a navigational error and go aground. She didn't say it didn't make any sense to her.
No, that's not true. It depends on what geo-coordinates you put into your unit when you get there.
On your magnet. Have you been in those, John, have you been in those waters?
Yes, sir, I have. I am a former OIC of one of those units.
Okay, so you disagree with her? It's easy to go aground on Farsi Island?
No, I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. It depends during your light off. When you're spinning up those engines, you're getting ready to pull out of that pier. You do all your checks. Make sure everything mechanically is set up. Make sure your navigation systems are all squared away. If they put in the wrong inputs into their GPS for a different region, the GPS could be way, way off.
Okay, let's say that. How could both of them make the same mistake at the same time? Two patrol boats both make the same mistake?
You've got the same guy doing both jobs at the same time? Absolutely.
Okay, fine. So the guy made a mistake? It couldn't have been Iran jamming them?
Yes, it's possible, but now you're talking...
All right, so let's talk about this. What mother kind of mothership did they come off? Was it a naval amphibious ship?
No. Well, right now what it appears is that they were transiting from Bahrain to Kuwait, where they normally operate out of.
No, wait. They were coming out of a... were they coming off a land base, or were they coming off a mothership?
They should have been coming out of Bahrain.
So they were coming from a land... base, in other words, a yacht harbor.
Yes.
How far away is that from here? I mean, these are not long-range vessels. They're not made for long-range work. How far away was that? 100 miles? 50 miles?
off the top of my head, don't get me lying. It's been a long time. I retired in 2009. That being said, they would have a ship that they would rendezvous with en route, which would be another amphib with a well deck. They'd pull in, gas up, and then get out and go again.
But that wouldn't be more than a mile away, would it?
It depends on what the actual distance was. Farsi Island is pretty much equidistant to both Kuwait and Bahrain, so looking at it...
I understand, but the mothership that was waiting for them, which has a bay on it into which boats like this can be driven, couldn't have been very far away, could it?
It could have been within 30, 40... 100 miles, you know, yes, it could have, but no, it could.
All right, but don't those ships have attack helicopters on them? I've been on those ships during a fleet week. They have attack helicopters on them, don't they?
Some of them do, some of them don't.
Who would send them into an Iranian area without an attack helicopter? I mean, they're not a Mr. Rogers neighborhood going on an ice cream tour.
Well, sir, this comes down to the ROE that they're being forced to operate under. And I'll be willing to bet money right now that the M2HBs, the 50 cals that they had on board, I'd be willing to bet you money they didn't even have ammo on board.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So it's another USS Cole under Bill Clinton when a raft, in other words, blew the ship in half. The men didn't even have ammunition in their weapons, their personal weapons.
That would be a fair assessment, sir.
So here we are again. Again, subversive academics running America and ruining the military. Well, thank you for your service, John. I'm sending you Government Zero. There's a whole chapter called Zero Military. Sadly to say, I wasn't wrong. Something's wrong with the picture. Anybody else have anything to add to this? State of the Union speech. Everyone's been playing it all day. I'm going to play it tonight. I didn't get to this. This is the biggest story of the State of the Union. The biggest story last night was not the liar in the White House. It was Haley. It was Haley. Nikki Haley. The new Quisling of the Republican Party. Nikki Haley attacked Republicans. In her rebuttal of Obama, she rebutted the Republican conservative wing. Could you believe this? She didn't rebut Obama. She rebutted the conservative wing of the Republican Party. This is the rebuttal speech from the so-called opposition party. How many years have I told you it's a one-party system? How many years have I told you it's an oligarchy? How many years since 1994 have I been preaching to the choir of some very loyal listeners out there who understand that we're living in a putative dictatorship, a rather benign dictatorship up until quite recently, but a dictatorship nevertheless, a one-party system, a government media complex, a party of Demokins or Republicrats. I've been preaching that message since 1994. There's a lot of Johnny-come-latelys now who went to the Bush White House, had dinner with George Bush, enjoyed George Bush, carried water for George Bush, and now suddenly they hate the Republican Party. Well, welcome to the party, boys. Welcome to the party. I'm glad you woke up in time. So let's listen now to this. This is shocking. Nikki Haley, who was supposed to attack Obama, well, let us say criticize him. That's the standard operating procedure. Leading member of the opposition party gets up and rebuts the statements of the president, who normally lies his way through a State of the Union address. That's what they do for a living. And the better the liar they are, the higher up they go in the food chain of politics. So she attacks conservatives. Listen to clip. Is it 26, Robert? Let's hear it.
We need to be honest with each other and with ourselves. While Democrats in Washington bear much responsibility for the problems facing America today, they do not bear it alone. There is more than enough blame to go around. We as Republicans need to own that truth. We need to recognize our contributions to the erosion of the public trust in America's leadership. We need to accept that we've played a role in how and why our government is broken. And then we need to fix it.
Okay, so the speech could have been written by Steven Spielberg, could have been written by any of the Democrat speech writers for her. She goes on and then attacks. Where does she attack Donald Trump? The loudness speech. Where'd that go? That's the one I really wanted to hear. I played one. Okay, that's not the best one. Here she attacks Donald Trump, Nikki Haley, the female Quisling of our times in 15.
Today, we live in a time of threats like few others in recent memory. During anxious times, it can be tempting to follow the siren call of the angriest voices. We must resist that temptation. No one who is willing to work hard, abide by our laws, and love our traditions should ever feel unwelcome in this country.
Really? Now listen to the next one in 16. This is the enemy within the Republican Party, Nikki Haley in 16.
In many parts of society today, whether in popular culture, academia, the media, or politics, there's a tendency to falsely equate noise with results. Some people think that you have to be the loudest voice in the room to make a difference. That's just not true. Often the best thing we can do is turn down the volume. When the sound is quieter, you can actually hear what someone else is saying. And that can make a world of difference.
Well, Obama speaks very softly. That's how he got where he is. And I think we need very loud voices of opposition, Miss Haley. And I think that while we're talking about Nikki Haley, the child of Indian immigrants, and I don't mean Native American immigrants, I think we need to look at that picture, because I have supported the East Indians, if you want to call that society East India, if you want to call them Indians, whatever you want to say, as some of the finest, smartest people on the planet. I've done so for 20 years. But what I see coming into the country today is really not about that. It's about lowering the wages of American workers for the greedy buccaneers in Silicon Valley. And I think Nikki Haley is on the take, as far as I'm concerned, from these very same lobbyists for the very same forces that have given us the likes of Facebook, Microsoft, and the others who want to lower wages. That's what I would suggest. So Nikki Haley has now distinguished herself as the Quisling of our time, doing as much damage as she possibly can to Donald Trump and anyone who opposes this academic subversive administration. But I want to go back to the big topic of the day. We must never forget it. And that is Obama's alternate universe. The statement that he made about ISIS last night was so shocking that as I was leaving dinner in a quiet restaurant, kind of eight, I don't know when it was, they were replaying him talking about ISIS. I tried to ignore most of the speech. So I left after 15 minutes. I couldn't take it. Went to dinner, had a couple of drinks. And as I was leaving, I saw on a TV screen in the middle of the sports, there was Obama saying this about ISIS. Listen carefully to this lie. Listen.
As we focus on destroying ISIS, over-the-top claims that this is World War III just play into their hands. Masses of fighters on the back of pickup trucks, twisted souls plotting in apartments or garages, they pose an enormous danger to civilians. They have to be stopped. But they do not threaten our national existence. That...
Maniac.
That is the story ISIL
tell that to the
tell.
Parents of the
That's
people
the
just killed in San Bernardino, maniac. 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 What world does he live in? How many times am I going to say this today? As often as I have to. 1950s Russia. Stalin said there can be no homicide in paradise, meaning a socialist paradise that he was the dictator of. And if a detective wanted to follow up a homicide investigation, he was told to say it was an accident because there were no homicides in paradise. Stalin, the brutal dictator, said that homicide could only occur in a capitalist society. This is exactly the mindset of Barack Obama. Again, a parallel universe. ISIS is not a threat. Ragtag bunch of guys in a pickup truck doesn't pose a threat. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to do with one of the world's great religions. Did you hear the speech? I really hope you understand the danger we are in because of this academic, subversive administration. I'm going to take your calls the minute I come back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Well, we're almost out of time in this hour, and I want to go to one last caller. Joe on KKOH out of Reno. Go ahead. Please make your point quickly.
Michael, I got a comment on Nikki Haley. Personally, I think the Republicans are just as guilty for our state of our country as the Democrats. John Boehner gave us this crazy...
Wait. So you're saying she's right by saying Republicans are too conservative? What are you saying here? I don't get it.
John Boehner in the Congress gave...
Okay, thanks for the call. We know what John Boehner did, but he's long gone. Folks, I want to talk about this in the next hour. I read this morning in the New York Post. People are dropping acid to perform better at work. They're taking micro doses of LSD or other psychedelics to feel a little bit of an energy lift, to get a little bit of insight. And they're not really tripping, but they're on acid. People are dropping acid today to perform better at work. LSD microdosing. My question is, how many in the Obama administration are microdosing on LSD, living in a parallel universe? I'm not going to name names because I don't know, but Joe Biden said there was no apology, and yet we played the apology. Barack Obama says that ISIS is not a threat, and yet there are people in the ground right now, in America right now. In San Bernardino, in Boston, in Denver, in Texas, in New York, put in the ground by ISIS followers in this country. Who's microdosing in the Obama administration? We're told that Iran is a safe, peaceful nation, and they give back our men. Who's microdosing? It's not me. I just had shrimp, salt and pepper shrimp. That's what I just macrodosed on. I macrodosed on salt and pepper shrimp for lunch. But who's microdosing on LSD?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is a fact that many people in America are now microdosing on LSD, thinking it gives them a greater creativity. Well, I found in my lifetime the people I knew who used LSD were amongst the dumbest people I ever met on the planet. Uncreative. The truly creative people never use acid, never have and never will. If they did when they were young, they realized it was a mistake. But now I read that microdosing of LSD has become a fashion somewhat at work. I guess that's because Steve Jobs was an acid head of some kind. And so they say people who want to be the next Steve Jobs are dropping micro doses of acid, one-tenth the usual amount of LSD or the psychedelics such as mushrooms, to get a little energy lift and such. And so they're working now on LSD. It's nothing. It's just like coffee to them. Well, I won't talk about LSD because I think it's what it is. It came and went during the age of Nixon for a good reason. It's one of the most dangerous substances to ever hit the human brain. LSD has destroyed more minds than it has cured. And LSD should, of course, never be used by anybody in any dosage. But, you know, saying that today, in the age of the subversive, it's laughable, I guess, to many people who are on the equivalent in marijuana. You know, small doses of LSD are equal to high doses of marijuana, incidentally. But you have to be on micro doses of LSD or macro doses of cannabis to believe that this incident with our two Navy boats going off course, the sailors being forced to apologize, Biden saying they didn't apologize, we're told Iran is a great country, wonderful people, is not related somehow to the lifting of Iranian sanctions this weekend. Tehran will be given back billions upon billions of dollars by the United States and by the EU just this weekend. This was orchestrated as sure as I'm sitting here. The lifting of sanctions, which will include an end to an EU embargo on the imports of Iranian oil, will have huge ramifications on the global oil market because Tehran is going to immediately add 500,000 barrels a day to its crude exports, which will also drive oil prices already low to an even lower place. It's going to have a big effect upon the Russian ruble and a big effect on Russia. Not a good thing. Many of you are stupid enough to think that you want to crush Russia, the exact opposite of what you should want. But since we have a bunch of academic morons running the country and the world, anything is liable to happen. I want to begin this hour the way I began the last hour and the hour before that with two sound bites. One is of Joe Biden, who is either insane or an absolute liar. I don't know which is true, saying there were no apologies. And then we'll play for you the apology of the U.S. Navy to the Iranian terrorists. Listen.
No, there's no apology. There's nothing to apologize for. When you have a problem with the boat, you apologize the boat had a problem? No. And there was no looking for any apology. Okay. I mean, this was just standard nautical practice.
It was a mistake. That was our fault. And we apologize for our mistake.
In your GPS, right, in GPS track, it is completely that you have penetrated to Iran territorial water?
I believe so.
How was the Iranian behavior with you?
The Iranian behavior was fantastic while we were here. We thank you very much for your hospitality and your assistance.
Didn't you have a special problem?
We had no problem, sir.
No, we had special K put into our oatmeal. We had no special problem. This is a new low for the U.S. military under the academic subversives running the Navy and the State Department and the Executive Office and virtually every other branch of this crazy left-wing academic establishment called the Obama administration. That opens up 15 lines at 855-407-282. It opens up 7 lines. If you care to join the conversation, this is hour number 3. We have a little more time right now because we have new stations joining us, and you have an open line to the world at 855-407-282. These are some of the other headlines in the news. Are you ready for them? Because here they come. University professor pleads guilty to smuggling ivory. A college professor in Minnesota pled guilty to illegally smuggling items made from elephant ivory from the United States to China. Now, you know I give money to organizations that save the elephants. It's a heartbreaking story. St. Cloud State University professor of philosophy, Yi Wei Zhang, also pled guilty Wednesday to violating the U.S. Lacey Act, which bans trade in wildlife, blah, blah, blah. Under a plea deal, Zhi Wang agreed to pay a $500,000 fine. Wonder where he got the money from. He also could face roughly 3 years in prison when he's sentenced in May. No, I have a better solution. Anyone who trades in ivory should be dropped naked in the jungles of Rwanda and be forced to run for their life over the thorny underbrush. That would be the proper punishment for Professor Yi Wei Zhang. Make him run for his life the way mother and father elephants run for their lives from the vermin who hunt them, sometimes from gunships. I told you it was China. I told you it was the Chinese. And I told you it has to be stopped. But what's the point of getting angry? This is not a big issue to Obama. The world is a perfect place. There's no elephant problem. There's no great mountain gorilla problem. There's only a Republican problem. Well, here's some good news. Al Jazeera America shutting down. Nice going, Al Gore. Al Gore sold him this dumpy outlet, which they turned into Al Jazeera. Made a fortune on it. The good Democrat Al Gore did. The great progressive Al Gore. And now, apparently it was fool's gold. They made a massive investment in trying to brainwash you in the United States 3 years ago. And now Al Jazeera is slamming the brakes on its American operation. Shutting down. April 30th. And that's the end of the road. Al Gore laughs all the way to Switzerland. Those are some of the headlines that we haven't touched on yet on the Savage Nation. What else do you want to talk about? The phone number is 855-407-282. I would be remiss as a famous talk radio host if I didn't play for you a little bit of what the academic subversive said last night in his parallel universe on the Savage Nation. And I think the most important one is what he said about ISIS, because I've never heard anything like this in my life. As I said to you earlier in hour one, but I forgot to tell you in hour two, when he made this statement on ISIS, I had just left dinner in a restaurant. I was in the bar area of the restaurant. They played him saying ISIS doesn't pose a threat. I screamed at the television set. I cursed him on the television set in this bar. And three guys said, can I buy you a drink? They didn't know who I was. I didn't say anything. I just left. I've never heard anything like this. It's propaganda, day and night propaganda, by a man living in a parallel universe. Who believes him anymore? Well, apparently all of Congress does, because I've never seen such sycophants in my life, and I mean both sides of the aisle. Did you see him kiss Ruth Bad Girl Ginsburg? Did you see him reach down and actually kiss that crocodile face? By the way, what is this thing about kissing everybody? A president kissing everybody. We're not living in France. We're not living in Italy with the kissing. What is this? Well, anyway, it's just absurd, the whole thing. It's not just the kissing and the glad-handing and the applause every 3 seconds. It's the lowness of the level of discussion. The speech itself was an embarrassment. A smart fifth-grade valedictorian could have done a better speech than he did last night. If you were to strip away the applause and listen to the emptiness of what he actually said, I would have given a fifth-grade valedictorian a D on the lies. I would have said, you know, honey, you can really talk, but you're not saying anything here. How can you actually say the things you said about ISIS when you know that they are an existential threat to those who are already dead? 855-407-282 is the phone number. I don't really want to play more of the speech. I mean, we have it, but it's almost embarrassing to play it. How could he push the climate agenda at a time like this? Why? Because he's a zealot. That's one of the biggest money earners yet. That's one of the biggest cash cows ever created by the cabal that runs the West, this climate change business. And so that's why he did it. Iran releases footage of U.S. sailor apologizing after capture. Joe Biden says, we didn't apologize. And then, of course, one of the most dangerously... oh, I don't have the words anymore. Facile members of the administration. John Kerry, you know what I think of him. We call him Lurch for years on this show for a number of reasons. You can laugh at him all you want, But if you look at him, it's all you need to know is looking at him. I mean, this is a man who would make an Undertaker proud. This is a man who, if you were casting a movie for a pallbearer in a Western set in the 1870s, John Kerry would be the chief pallbearer. And so John Kerry thanks the Iranian authorities during this kabuki play in clip number 21. 21, please, Robert. Fire it away.
I also want to thank the Iranian authorities for their cooperation and quick response. These are always situations which, as everybody here knows, have an ability, if not properly guided, to get out of control.
Guided.
And I'm appreciative for the quick and appropriate response of the Iranian authorities. All indications suggest or tell us that our sailors were well taken care of, provided with blankets and food, and assisted with their return to the fleet earlier today.
Subversive, seditious speech, end of story. But there's nothing more I could say to you. The whole country's been riddled with this kind of BS. And the entire event, from my point of view, was orchestrated. Someone in the Obama administration either sabotaged these boats via the GPS signal, or the Iranians overrode the signals of the GPS to run them aground and to take our sailors hostage and humiliate the United States military and to steal our technology from these fast boats. Do you remember the drone I asked you 2 hours ago? Am I the only one in the American media who has a memory? Do you remember what Obama did? I believe it was in 2011 when he delivered to the Iranians a drone without a scratch on it, our most advanced drone. And the U.S. Air Force said, whoops, sorry. Did anyone ever go to prison for that? No. Will anyone go to prison for this? Who did this? So it just was set up, in my opinion, to make Iran look like nice guys. So when Obama gives them back $70 billion or whatever the number may be over the weekend, we say, well, the Iranians aren't so bad. Look, they just returned our sailors nice, safe and sound. They came back with storybooks. They came back with a gift basket from Tehran. It was very much like going to the Academy Awards or the Golden Globes for our sailors. They were given little gift baskets. The hair and the fingernails, the fingers even, from victims who were tortured to death in Iranian prison cells, set in amber, were given to each of them. A little Iranian gift basket of the horror and terror nation that we are now suddenly in love with. What did you think of the faces of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? They looked like Potemkin's say. It looked like I don't have words again for it. Wherever I turned, I saw stooges. Everywhere, there was nobody protesting there. I heard that one U.S. congressman walked out on Obama last night. Stephen King got up and walked out. But I didn't see the cameras following him, did you? There was no frowning. Stupid Rubio sat there looking like someone took away his ice cream cone. That's the most he could do. He didn't frown. He didn't do a thumbs down. He didn't scowl. He didn't give any signal that he disagreed with the thing that Obama said. He just sat there like a little boy, waiting for someone to give him an ice cream cone, actually. And so what's the point of talking about it? You would expect me to knock Obama the next day, right? Yeah, that's what. Let's tune in and hear the clown put down Obama during his State of the Union address. Oh, you just did. Okay, well, can we move on now? No, we can't move on. He lives in a parallel universe. Because when you hear what he had to say about ISIS, you have to understand that ISIS doesn't know that you're a good progressive. They don't know that when they plant the bomb in a supermarket or, God forbid, a child care center or a deli, for that matter, or a school, they don't know that you're a good progressive communist who wants to see the overthrow of America. They don't care, because to them you are what? You are an infidel. And the day you come to understand either you're with us against them or you are putting yourself in danger as well, you will understand nothing. And the minute I come back, I'm going to play Obama's seditious lie about the relativity of the non-threat of ISIS on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
As we focus on destroying ISIS, over-the-top claims that this is World War III just play into their hands. Masses of fighters on the back of pickup trucks, twisted souls plotting in apartments or garages, They pose an enormous danger to civilians. They have to be stopped. But they do not threaten our national existence. That is the story ISIL wants to tell. That's
parallel
the kind of
universe.
Propaganda they use to recruit.
Psychopath.
We don't
psychopath.
Need...
Keep going. Keep playing the psycho so they get the
and
full...
And we sure don't need to push away vital allies in this fight by
who?
Echoing the lie that ISIL is somehow representative of one of the world's largest religions.
Beyond belief. Beyond belief?
We just need to call them what they are. Killers and fanatics.
Oh,
who have to be
God.
Rooted out, hunted down,
okay, stop.
And destroyed.
The man is crazy. He's a liar. He's a sociopath, and he's very dangerous. There's the first rule of warfare, which is know thy enemy. And either he knows the enemy or he doesn't know it, and he's, you know, fabricating this. Not connected to a religion? We didn't say all Muslims are fanatics like this or murderers, but if you disconnect it from its core systematic narrative, which is connected to Islam, it's called Islamic State because it's not the Buddhist state, it's not the Jewish state, not the Christian state, not the Hindu state. It's not the Zoroastrian state, it's not the Yazidi state. It's not Brooklyn state, it's not New York state, it's not any other state. It's not even a state of mind, it's a state of Islam. And it's a division of Islam. And if it's one small division of Islam, we should say thank God. But you don't deny it's a relative of one of these world great religions. It's the only way you can come to understand where their fanatics get their ideas from. They're not getting it from the Christian Bible to hang people and set them on fire while they're alive. They're getting these punishments from their own deranged interpretation of their religion. Make no mistake about it. Until we understand that and have a president who understands that, we will continue to lose American citizens. Europe will continue to lose citizenry and land to these fanatics. One day, perhaps, and I hope it won't be too late at that point, there will finally be a wall that slams shut and we start the deportation proceedings that are necessary to save our lives.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Microdosing on LSD while working. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Phone number here is 855-407-282. We're watching the meltdown of a great nation under this academic imposter. And apparently the media can't get enough of him. If Jane Fonda, as I said, had become president, we'd have about exactly what we have right now. Instead of posing with a North Vietnamese anti-aircraft gun, during the Vietnam War, we have Obama and Kerry fundamentally using our Navy as an agitprop item to boost up the image of the terror nation of Iran so they could return, what is it, $65 billion in assets that were seized to constrain them from their nuclear ambitions. That'll happen this weekend. The whole thing looks orchestrated to me. It's shocking, by the way, and I don't even know how a Democrat cannot see through this. I feel like becoming, well, not becoming, I feel like studying the hermit crab. Maybe I should study the hermit crab. What the hermit crab does is very interesting. I think I'm going to buy a hermit crab shell. You can buy a 10-pack small shell 10-pack, a variety pack from our small shell category. I just went on Google to look up hermit crab shells. And what's going to happen now is every time I load a news story, it's going to be trying to sell me hermit crab shells for the rest of my life. That's why I have to replace what I look for. I'm tired of looking. I looked once for a sock. Everywhere I turned, every news story, they were selling me socks. I couldn't stand looking at the socks, so I looked for a spoked wheel for my Jaguar. That went on for 10 days. So now I'm looking at hermit crab shells in order to get away from spokes and socks. But, you know, with what's going on in our country today, I can understand the hermit crab. But there's no hiding, is there? There's no hiding from the realities of the world that we live in. Sometimes we think you can hide, get under a nice warm cover at night, lock the door, load the gun, put on the burglar alarm, and maybe we get away for a few hours. But our minds can't stop wondering how an imposter like this continues to get away with it. It's like he's the great magician. He's like Merlin the magician. He keeps lying, destroying things, and gets away with it. And goes down the speech last night like on a red carpet at the Golden Globes. Slaps and hugs and kisses and love from both parties. And I look at it from the outside as a citizen of this great nation, as an immigrant son, and I say, what nation am I living in? that such frauds and imposters and outright thieves could be running this country? How is it possible? How is it possible? Is there not one honest man in that entire auditorium who is willing to stand up and scream, I object, you liar! ISIS is a threat! I object, you liar! Tell that to the parents of those killed in San Bernardino and be thrown out of the auditorium. Is there not one honest man in the entire Congress? Well, the question, of course, has its answer built into it. And then I watch nature programs for some of my inspiration. I was tired last night. I didn't want to watch any more of the violence and the boxing and the this and the news. I turn on a nature show. Here we go again. The Australian Barrier Reef, and they go all the way down the bottom. And the bottom, it says fish sleep at night with their eyes open, unmoving. They're laying in the mud, not bothering anybody, trying to go to sleep. This is just before I'm going to sleep. And I said, although the fish is not moving, not making any audible sounds, nor upsetting any currents, it can still give off an odor. And then they show some horrendously ugly creature approaching, a monster, and had a long, like, beak on it. It was some kind of snail with a long beak that sniffs around for a fish that's asleep. And it approaches so stealthily, the fish doesn't even know it's coming. And when it gets within range of the fish, it emits some kind of toxins, which paralyzes the sleeping fish. And then, horror of all horrors, it opens up some flapping thing and swallows the fish whole while it's paralyzed. And then when the fish is in the gullet of this disgusting creature that God made, it has a hook with a toxin that kills the fish. And you see the fish thrashing inside the snail as it dies. And I said, my God, that looks like America's political system. And you could put anyone you want in any one of those roles. Who is the sleeping fish? Who is the snail, the ugly snail with the long snout that paralyzes its enemy and then destroys it? Oh, it's so ripe for a children's story. What a fable that would make, wouldn't it? The sleeping fish. You want to scare children? You can tell them that story. And that's what I think we're like. We're like that sleeping fish. This entire nation seems like the sleeping fish. And the enemies of our way of life, internal and external, are injecting some kind of toxin that paralyzes us on a daily basis, waiting to suck us into its, you know, gullet and inject us with the final toxin that kills us. That final toxin could be anything. It could be a nuke. It could be an EMP blast. It could be botulism released into the air. It could be smallpox released into a subway. It could be sarin gas released into a subway. And we're asleep, or being put asleep by the great pretender in the White House. ISIS is not a threat, he says. A group of maniacs in a pickup truck. They're no threat, he says. Who's crazier, him or John Kerry? So, look, I could go on, and maybe you don't want to hear any more. Let's go to the callers. Rick on WMAL. Go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was wondering, showing any anger at the fact that these people, these Iranians, made one of our service members, the female, cover her hair? I mean, you don't do that to a guest. That is a prisoner. And the fact that...
I can save you any anguish on that one. Hillary Clinton voluntarily did it, and so did Nancy Pelosi, so I don't think it was a great a burden on the female sailor to cover her hair. I mean, Pelosi did it. Hillary does it. They all do it. They surrender themselves. They surrender their own dignity. See, when they know that when in Rome you do as the Romans do, but it's apparently when they come over here, they don't do what we do. They want us to do what they do. How's that work? That's what you do in a conquered nation. You come into a nation, and instead of following their laws, you tell them, drop dead, follow Sharia law. That's the nation of a conqueror, a conquered nation.
I agree. The only thing is that I was in the military, and I know for a fact that there's not a single female sailor that's on a fast boat that would do that willingly at all. That does not exist. And nobody brave enough to be on a fast boat is going to do that.
Rick, were you on these fast boats that were captured by the Iranians? That type of boat, rather?
No, I was not. But I've, like I said, I spent years in the military. I know personality types. I know what kind of characters are on these boats. They're not timid people.
Well, John Kerry was on one in the rivers of Vietnam. What does that tell us?
Scott. You got a point. I can't argue on that one.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't mean to degrade your argument, but he was on one. 855-472-82. Let's go to WDRC Radio. John, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I watched the whole speech last night, and I actually saw some disdain, anger, disgust, and hope in the faces of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
You did? I saw men who had been compromised, and they looked like they were being led around on a string.
Well, yeah, but I did see anger and anxiety in that regard. Waiting.
Well, Obama was sitting there denying that ISIS is a threat to us, did you see anything on their faces that indicated they knew otherwise?
I did. I thought I did, indeed, yes.
Maybe you were projecting your own concern, because it looks to me like they're very happy campers working for the great commander-in-chief,
well,
the academic commander-in-chief, who says that there is no threat from ISIS.
And I know from your book, Stop the Coming Civil War, how Obama's degraded the military and replaced all the good commanders countless times. And I'm sure you think that these gentlemen are his puppets, but...
Well, here's the thing. They're braver men than I am. They have served in combat, which I have not done. They're super brave men, but they're bureaucrats, and they take orders from the president, as all of their predecessors have done going back to George Washington. That is a given. However, the difference today is that ISIS is an existential threat to the United States of America, and we have an academic psychotic running the country who denies that fact. And for any military man to deny it along with him means that they are as culpable as he is. Thank you for the call. I don't know how else to say it. That was a nice little diatribe and speech. It's true. I'm studying the hermit crabs. I want to buy a bunch of them. They'll become my new silvermouth turbo shell polished. $2.50. Silvermouth carno shell, camo shell. $10. It costs that much, a used shell? That's not a hermit crab. Green Brunius shell. 75 cents. I see people in Florida walking the beaches, cleaning up the beaches. Did you hear the story I read earlier about our great philosophy professor who was arrested for exporting elephant ivory to China? You hear that story? Did you hear what I said the punishment should be? Mr. Zhang was exporting elephant ivory to China. Now, you know, again, I'm going to repeat it so you hear me. I support those who protect our elephants. They're the most noble creature on the planet. They're not a hermit crab. They all may want to live, but the elephant is in another category. And to let people hunt them for their ivory, killing them sometimes while they're alive, taking the ivory out of their face, I mean, it's beyond comprehension. But then when you see what ISIS does, you can understand what the Africans do. They're no different. They hunt elephants from helicopters, some of these governments. They execute these elephant herds with machine guns. They leave the babies crying for their mother, and they kill the mother in front of the baby's eyes and take the ivory away to sell it to the pigs in China primarily. And now we have a Chinese professor here from China, philosophy professor, caught exporting the ivory. You hear this? There's only one punishment for anyone who deals in ivory. Strip them naked, drop them in the jungles of Rwanda naked, and let them know what it's like to be a hunted creature. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. I don't know what people were tuned into last night, but, you know, not everyone watched the State of the Union address like the world hung on his every word. It's not the same anymore, you know what I'm saying? And I know you expected me to get up here and bash him today for what he said, and I hope I didn't disappoint. But I led with something else, which is a huge embarrassment for this nation, which is the kabuki play of the two naval craft going off course and going aground on a large island and being rescued after being humiliated by the terror nation of Iran, and then John Kerry congratulating Iran for returning the men without harm. It was astounding. So seamless, isn't it, in its propaganda effects? Just days before the United States releases $70 billion in assets of Iran. So seamless, the kabuki play. Not a question from Jake Tapper. Wolf Blitzer. On Blitzer. On Blitzer. on Katzenberg, on Hatzenberg and Ratzenberg, says Santa. Yes, indeed, he's Santa in the White House. WDRC, Brandon, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call. Though I don't agree with much of your political views, doesn't really matter. What I do highly agree with is your passion for wildlife, and I just wanted to let you know that the snail that you're talking about is the cone snail or cone shell.
The snail with the long snout at the bottom of the sea that sniffs out the sleeping fish?
Yes, sir. They are highly toxic to people. They're being studied big time for their venom that they use.
Wow. So are you a marine biologist, Brandon?
I am not. I got to be honest with you. I currently cannot afford college.
Well, you're a pretty smart guy. I mean, if you're interested in this field, I wish I could help you with a scholarship. How old are you?
Greatly appreciate that. I just wanted to inform you. Yeah, they're extremely interesting. The venom is being studied for many different purposes, some of it medicinal.
Of course. I'm a person who studied natural products chemistry for many years and looked in the plant world and the animal world. I had a professor who was an expert, by the way, in marine toxins, which he was looking. You know, the difference between a poison and a medicine is usually just dose. You know that.
Yeah, there was that. I know I go through that. I'm also very big on venomous snakes, so we go through that an awful lot. Where poison is consumed as venom.
Wait, if you're such an intelligent guy, how could you disagree with so many of the things I say? I don't say them for effect, Brandon. I study the natural world and I study the political world with the same analytical mind. I mean, I don't come to these conclusions because I go into it with a bias.
I fully understand. I don't want to argue that. I mean,
all right, no, you're not. Okay, I get it. We don't have to debate it. The point is that you like my diversion by talking about the fish and the snail. And what's the name of the snail again that does this to the sleeping fish?
Cone snail, they're called.
I would say some of our worst politicians would mimic the cone snail.
I'm going to tell you this, that I fully agree with. I'm not a big fan. I don't trust politicians, and that's on either side of the aisle. You know, it's just... The political world is something that I think you really need to be involved in for the majority of the population. You know, people just...
In order to understand who's saying what. It's a very complex world of moving parts. But, Brandon, today I played Joe Biden saying that the Navy didn't apologize, and 2 seconds later I played the apology. What does that tell you about Joe Biden?
Yes, yeah, the political world, I can't trust any of that. Obviously.
Yeah, but here's a man lying right to the world on a television show. We didn't apologize. Brandon, listen, Robert, play Joe Biden, then play the apology if we have time. Brandon, thanks for listening. You got to play this for the audience on the way out the door. Joe Biden, then the apology, and you decide for yourself who's crazy.
No, there's no apology. There's nothing to apologize for. When you have a problem with the boat, you apologize the boat had a problem? No. And there was no looking for any apology. Okay. I mean, this was just standard nautical practice.
It was a mistake. That was our fault. And we apologize for our mistake.
In your GPS, right?
When you have the Vice President of the United States getting up on a television show not challenged by one of the dunces, and says there was no apology when there had been one, and then I play the apology, and the dunce on the television show doesn't lose his job, and the vice president isn't roundly condemned, then you understand what I mean by the government media complex, the one-party system, the Democrats or Republicrats. Savage Nation, good night.